This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. My next guest has written a speech that a presidential candidate should give in this country to talk about liberty. Unfortunately, I think it's a speech no presidential candidate will ever give in this country because it's a speech about liberty. And as you know, when you're running for president, that's not a big topic because there are so many other things that can get in the way of what is essentially the reason we became our own country, to be free from a government that is involved in our lives as much as this one is today. His name is Dan Gilmore. He is the director of the Knight Center for Digital Media Entrepreneurship at Arizona State University's Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. Dan, welcome to America Weekend.
Glad to be with you.
If I may, I'd like to just read a little bit from this speech that you wrote for the virtual candidate of the future.
By all means.
Here is the truth. We will be attacked again, no matter what we do to prevent it. Americans will die. Murderers like the Boston bombers will evade our best efforts at prevention. Rarely, but realistically, they will find a way to commit their crimes because in an open society, we can't possibly seal every border, building, and open space. We can't watch everybody closely enough. And we can't track every material that someone can turn into a part of a bomb. If we did that and all the other things we'd have to do, we would become a police state. And remember, in police states, the biggest crimes, the worst acts of terrorism, are committed by government. Yes, we will be attacked again. No matter who is president when it happens, we will hunt down the murderers and bring them to justice. But if I'm in the White House, we won't give them what they want by punishing ourselves, as we did in too many ways after the horrors of 9/11. Dan, we are approaching the 12th anniversary of the attacks of 9/11/01. How exactly have we been punishing ourselves?
Unfortunately, we've been reacting to that and to many other things with an overreaction of sorts of things that are including the surveillance that we're seeing, or I should say have not been seeing until leaks of documents came out, the what we call security theater, other people have called security theater at airports, which does very little to protect us, but but gives the impression of doing something to stop them. The amount that we've spent to prevent or to do other things in this area is just incredible, and we've reduced our liberties at the same time.
Well, you know that the argument against what you're saying is, hey, we haven't been attacked, nobody's hijacked a plane, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's working.
If you ask people who are genuine experts on security, and I do not include myself in this, but I've studied what they say, the things that have protected us in airplanes are two things. One is to make the cockpit doors a lot harder to get through, and the other is the recognition by passengers that they're not going to let this happen again, just as Flight 93 passengers did.
Right.
So everything else, for not quite everything else, but most of the rest of it, is what these folks call security theater, designed to make us think something is being done, but in fact, not terribly useful.
Continuing along as the devil's advocate here for just a second, one of the things that we as taxpayers want the government to do for us is to provide a safe and secure country and community. That's why we have police forces. That's why we have an army. That's why we have a national security system set up so that we don't get attacked by people who don't like us or want to take our things. That's why we have locks on our doors. That's why some people have alarm systems. We're very interested in being safe and secure. Has the government gone too far in giving us what we want?
From the point of view of many people, and I would be one of them, yes, the government's gone too far. We have gone too far as a society. We need to look in the mirror if we're going to look at what's going on here. We deliberately take risks as Americans, or our Constitution embodies the idea that we take some risks to have more liberty, that we can't have a perfectly safe environment no matter what we do, and that in the end, the point is that we're making a clear, understandable trade-off that to have freedom, you have to have some additional risks. We've been moving that bar in ways that I find quite alarming.
Whenever I talk about this subject, Dan, I always get an email or sometimes a a phone call from a friend or a listener, and they always say this: look, you must have things to be afraid about the government finding out about you. I don't. I have nothing to fear because I have nothing to hide. What would you say to these people?
Well, the best answer to that is, you have nothing to hide. That's great. So you don't mind now that we put a webcam in your bathroom and your bedroom, right? That's good. And you don't mind if we attach a microphone and video camera to you personally to record everything you do day in and day out so we can check back later to make sure nothing was going on.
Yeah.
And any number of responses, everybody has something they want to hide. Moreover, it may not be illegal things they want to hide. People are not perfect. They do things that they don't want other people to know about. Secondly, the notion that we have done nothing wrong is simply false. We have so many laws in this country and so many crimes that Congress and states have created that probably shouldn't be crimes and which are very vague in their wording, that people in the law tell me you can be charged at any time as a felon and quite possibly lose, that we are all guilty of something, even if we don't know it. And, by the way, you don't even need to know that you're guilty. There's no requirement that you understand that you're breaking the law.
Yeah, a law professor of mine once said, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And unfortunately, we're all ignorant of these laws, many of which were passed without us even knowing that they were becoming laws.
Right. Have you, by the way, have you ever failed to fill out a online form with have you ever done anything that was not the full and perfect truth in an online form you filled out?
Of course.
I'm sorry, sir. we're going to have to take you away now. Because the two administrations have declared that to be a violation of a computer fraud law that they've used to convict some people.
Does your concern about surveillance and security and particularly a decreasing amount of liberty, does that extend to the large number of cameras that we have, not in our private places looking at what we're doing behind closed doors, but in public places, you know, whether it's a camera at an ATM that's keeping an eye out that can be accessed by the police, or speed and red light cameras?
It would depend on the type and the place. I think we need some of these. And, you know, I'm not an absolutist libertarian who thinks nothing should be done in any place to anyone. That would be absurd. But the red light cameras tend to be revenue generators, not really done for safety. And there are some studies that I've seen that suggest they simply increase the likelihood of a rear-end collision as people jam on the brakes.
Yep.
There's something really wrong about putting cameras everywhere we go. It removes the possibility of being private anywhere but inside our own homes, which is increasingly less the case with online surveillance.
I agree. Now you work at a journalism school at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
How is journalism doing in this regard?
I have to say poorly. Journalism has tended to exaggerate risk, just as politicians do. This is a standard thing. Journalism does, and again, this is a very human reaction. We are wired to react, to overreact to risk as human beings. But journalists in particular, I'm going to pick right now on TV news, local TV news, where the saying, if it bleeds, it leads, is just so true. And in a time when crime has been plummeting, the crime rate has been plummeting over the last generation, if it bleeds, it leads is still the way they do it, and people think crime has never been higher.
Yep.
That's an exaggeration, and I believe a dangerous one, because if you believe that you're about to be injured, killed, robbed, whatever, even if the chances are infinitesimally small, you're going to be more likely to support laws that restrict your freedom and everyone else's. And I think TV news at the local level is drastically wrong on this and has helped create a climate of fear that is hurting us all.
I couldn't agree more. That climate of fear is not just at the local level, but at the national level, and I think it's used to control us to a great degree. Dan Gilmore is one of the people who keeps an eye on journalism and security as well at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication at Arizona State University. Thanks so much for joining me today, and congratulations on a great column.
Thank you very much.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.